Once upon a time, a young actor named Noah Brody toured with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, performing all the great books abridged in Ireland, and then learning completely Hollywood abridged and performing it around the mostly East Coast of the United States, and then touring it to Belgium and Holland. And since then, young Noah has gone on to found or co-found his own theater, the Fiasco Theater, that is currently taking New York, off-Broadway, many other places by storm, and you've now taken over our stage and dressing room at the new Victory Theater with your production, with your production of Measure for Measure. So, first of all, how dare you, sir? But second of all, congratulations!
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's as you know, since working with you guys, it's been my dream to work everywhere you've worked and annihilate any memory of your presence.
Usurp and supplant. Well done, sir.
That's right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 379, The Fiasco Theater.
So I forget what years, and I can't be bothered to look it up, that you did books, but it was like the mid-2000s.
Yeah, it was like 2008.
Yeah, okay. What I remember being so impressed by when you were touring with us and even rehearsing and performing is that you were spending your days as a playwright. You were working on a play, I think, about John Quincy Adams.
You're correct, sir.
Which is a shared passion of both of ours. And yeah. I was just impressed by that feeling of an actor not just waiting around for the next gig. You were trying to create your own. So how did Fiasco come about?
Fiasco came out of the Brown University Trinity Rep MFA program. I, along with five other of my colleagues who represent the first, second, and third graduating classes of that program, because it was a brand new program the first year I was there. And specifically, a guy named Ben Steinfeld and Jesse Austrian, who was in the class of 06, founded the company together. Jesse and I are married now. And we really started teaching together sort of in 07 and talking, you know, we sort of got out of graduate school and not much was happening.
Right.
You know, it's like, great, we're masters of fine arts. Now they're going to put us in movies, right? Not so much. So we weren't working as much as we wanted to, but we loved creating work together, and we started teaching, and especially co-teaching, so two teachers at a time, and we found that very valuable and interesting, and we wanted to start doing little workshops and things together. And then in 09, we brought sort of our three favorite colleagues together, and the six of us put together a production of Cymbeline that we just did in a little loft space in Tribeca as a sort of showcase thing. And then it went on to be picked up for two off-Broadway runs, including a long commercial run off-Broadway. And that, for a long time, that has been the trajectory that has sort of propelled the company forward. And then we created a production of Into the Woods with the McCarter Theater in Princeton that is now going to go on to a regional run as well as a longer off-Broadway run at the Roundabout Theater. And so that's sort of redefining the kind of work that we do and the way that people know us. So, and it really just came out of the fact that our favorite artistic experiences were the ones where we were in a room together just creating what we wanted to create as actors, doing the kinds of things that actors like to do. We all self-identify as actors, even though we write and direct and do things like that. And so there's this sort of joy, shared, you know, mutual love, joy, and passion for creating sort of total theater that I think is infused in the work.
Well, it seems like you have a kind of reduced, if you'll pardon the expression, style, in that it's a small number of actors performing many roles, and there are not a lot of production elements. But the smart thing you did was to work with women too, because boy, I got into the theater to meet girls, and now I'm working with two guys all the time, and that just sucks.
It doesn't help you meet ladies if you only work with men.
That's
one
true.
Of the things you only learn about after the fact.
It's true. So how would you define the Fiasco style?
Well, what we do is we're really actor driven and text driven. What we spend a lot of time reading through the text, trying to get to understand it, and themes and content and motifs and language, and then we sort of try to crystallize for ourselves what those things are about, and then start thinking about those thematic ideas visually and spatially, so that we ask ourselves, in terms of symboline, it was, we ask, well, what do we actually need? And the only thing you actually need is a trunk.
Hmm.
Because Yakumo has to pop out of a trunk. We say, okay, well, if that's the only thing we really need, what other, could we just do it with a trunk? What else could the trunk do? What could it be? How many different ways could we use it? And that's sort of what we like to do. We ask ourselves, what do we need? And how can that thing have thematic resonance and resonance with the content of the play? And how many different ways can we use it so that we give ourselves anything that we need, but only the things that we need? And I think, we don't really have a poor theater aesthetic, but we do have an aesthetic that is about minimizing the sort of, about the spectacle, so that it's really the performers and the creation of the world. Just like the reduced Shakespeare, you do half the work and the audience does half the work. And that's why it's more fun, because their imaginations are engaged the whole time, rather than providing everything visually, and so they can sit back and sort of check out.
Well, that's why, and that's why I always love when you or we perform at the New Victory Theater, which is right next door to the largest Broadway theater that recently housed of Spider-Man, and is
that's
nothing
right.
but spectacle.
Yeah, and those sort of contradictions are often pointed out by people who come see the show and reviewers.
They're
like, here's millions of dollars being put to use for good or for ill next door, and you can get away with very minimal amounts of stuff and have a much more potent experience, with a live audience.
It's actor driven, but with great attention to the text. It's not just, hey, I can do this party trick. How can I shoehorn that in? Which is our style.
How much stuff can we throw in there? We do spend an enormous amount of time working on the text and playing games with the text. We spent a lot of time working with people like Andrew Wade and Cicely Berry, discovering and working on ways to unpack that text so that it is, so that we know exactly what we're saying and we know the whys of it. And we sort of try to meet that language and that poetry and the music of that so that it gets unlocked and within us and in the space. And that really leads our investigation. We get geeky about that stuff. We love it. And so, we pull out all the books and we'll play all the games. And it's incredibly gratifying, when people come to see our shows and they have seem to have clearly enjoyed themselves, and they're surprised by that because they actually understood everything, both in textual terms, but in human behavioral terms. We try to say to ourselves, just take nothing for granted. You don't do something because people do this thing in ye olde Shakespeare-y days, but we ask ourselves, why does a human being say this thing now, and how do you respond and take that thing in? And because it's actor driven, we're taking responsibility for our own choices, and hopefully the sort of what that means is that the audience is seeing humanity and human life on stage, and not some sort of animatronic museum.
Do you have a director?
We do.
Okay.
To date, all of our productions have been co-directed by myself and Ben Steinfeld. We've always had two directors, but we also are acting in the productions as well. So there's six of us in the company. We've done shows we're doing a show with six right now, Measure for Measure It, but we are Into the Woods is 10 people and a pianist. So we work with slightly larger ensembles when it's called for, but we have two directors. But the way I kind of think of it is that we facilitate the conversation.
Right.
We really try to start with like everyone in the room having a strong voice, and then it's sort of a funnel that gets more narrow as the rehearsal process goes on, where Ben and I will be leading more and more and making sort of final decisions throughout the process, but that each actor is taking responsibility for his or her choices.
Hi, I'm Jason Fetty from KX93.5, Laguna Beach's only FM radio station, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, if you hop on a plane and plan accordingly, you can see three RSC companies performing three RSC shows in three RSC countries. Well, two countries and a bunch of cities. Our UK tour of the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, continues across Great Britain this week with performances in Tenterden, Maidstone, Diss, Lincoln, Barnard Castle, and New Brighton. Then you can hop on a plane to Wisconsin to see us perform the Complete World of Sports Abridged in La Crosse and Green Bay on Wednesday and Thursday. That's where I'll be. Then you can continue on to Laguna Beach, California, where we'll be performing all the great books abridged at the Laguna Playhouse until March 30th. But wait, there's more. Our three-month, 60-city UK tour is now a three-and-a-half-month, almost 70-city tour of the UK and Ireland. Because of the Newton Abbey kerfuffles at the start of this tour, and due to popular demand, we have added performances in both the North and the Republic of Ireland. The specific dates and times are being finalized as I speak, but they should be up on our website by the time you hear this. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Noah Brody about the Fiasco Theater.
Many recent graduates of universities and graduate programs go, hey, let's start a theater. But yeah, you guys have done it and are surviving and thriving. Well, to what do you attribute that? What's the secret of your success?
Well, it's kind of funny. First of all, even though it's a kind of a hackneyed expression, it really was an organic process. We were never trying to force anything. It turns out that Jesse, Ben, and I share, and the other three as well, we share a common aesthetic, but we are different people. We have different strengths, different weaknesses. It turns out that my weaknesses get spackled over by the strengths of the others. And, you know, my strengths, can come to bear when helpful and necessary. And then it also turns out that a sort of alchemy came to be in terms of running the company. But most of all, we did Cymbeline because we just wanted to do a show together. And we thought, well, Cymbeline has got parts that we wanted to play. It's got great events. It's got some great verse scenes and wonderful characters that are of our, sort of generation. We thought, we can do this. It's got three great acts. It's got two acts at the end. We don't know the hell we're going to do with, but oh well.
Right.
We'll just figure it out as we go. And we honestly thought, look, it doesn't matter. No one's going to come see this anyway. So, we were really just doing it for ourselves. And I think that is the thing that we try to remember. And we named ourselves Fiasco because there's this sort of folk etymology about it coming out of the Commedia dell'arte troops, where someone would try a new Lotzi, and if it failed, they'd say, Fare Fiasco, you make the bottle, or you're buying tonight, because you screwed up. And we sort of chose the name Fiasco because it has these theatrical roots, but also as a kind of reminder that you have to risk failing in a big way if you want to have the hope of succeeding in a big way. And we sort of try to ask, dare ourselves to try things that are big and scary and for which we might fail, and not because we're trying to get an agent or because we want to have a hit or get a good review. We're just try to remind ourselves to do the things that we love to do. And I think that decision making has held us in good stead. It's how we started, and it's how we try to keep thinking.
Well, unlike how the Reduced Shakespeare Company started with short versions of Romeo and Juliet and Hamlet, you're taking this actor-driven textual analysis onto plays that are worth investigating because they're not overdone. I mean, you're starting with Cymbeline and Measure for Measure in the Shakespearean canon. These are not Shakespeare's greatest hits, these two.
No. And, we never thought of it as, like, approaching the problem plays per se, although it is interesting that we are drawn to those. We're drawn to those shows where we kind of go, I think this is a great play, but I've never... I don't know if I've ever really seen a good production of it. I don't know if I've ever really enjoyed it, or I have big questions about it. And there are also plays that we feel like can be good ensemble plays. We're at this point, we're not that interested in Hamlet. The sort of titular character and everybody else gets to run around and hold a spear.
Yeah.
Or, right. So those are both, these are both in plays that were where with six actors playing 40 different roles, everybody has a good acting track. Sometimes that means you have one big character and something tiny. Sometimes it means you're playing four different characters, and that creates a different kind of experience. So it actually is, you know, we're looking at ourselves going, well, what do we want to do next? What are the dragons to slay? You know, what scares the hell out of us? or what might not we be able to pull off? That was kind of, we were equally attracted because of the text and the music to Sondheim and wanted to know if our approach as classical actors could work with a musical, because we make a lot of music together as well in our productions. But we were sure we were going to fail miserably at it, and the way things turned out, we got offered a production before we'd even done an investigatory workshop. And so we sort of looked at each other and shrugged and said, oh, well, let's go for it, you know? Again, it's like we just try to look for things that are we can be passionate about and that just scare the hell out of us.
Well, and you ended up getting Sondheim's blessing. He came out to see you guys at the McCarter.
He did. He was just wonderfully supportive and has been of us and the project and its future life, and James Lapine as well. I mean, we didn't, you know, we thought, what are they gonna say?
Right.
And they were just wonderful, you know. And I also feel like they know that they've created something that's bigger than any one production.
Yeah.
So I think that after, you know, 20 years, they're enjoying it on other levels than are they going to do this well, or are they going to screw it up for us, you know?
Right. I mean, a script is like your child, and you want your child to go off and have a great life.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. If you're in New York, try to catch the final week of Fiasco Theater's Measure for Measure at the new Victory Theater, which closes March 16th. Or check out their website, fiascotheater.com, for more information. Then send us your actor-driven aesthetic via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, toddler-driven aesthetic Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Mary, the random fan I met randomly a few nights ago at the Laguna Playhouse. No reason. As I said, it's just random. Special thanks to Jason Fetty from KX 93.5 FM in Laguna Beach. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 379 1137ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I did want to say that I take this oddly paternal pride in your work, and I read about it from afar in Ben Brantley's Valentine of Reviews for Measure for Measure, or on the Facebook, as the kids say. So I'm just thrilled for you, for your success.
Well, thanks, Austin, and you know, I got the wonderful opportunity to work with you guys at a time in my life where it was critical that for me that I could continue to work and play and. Working with you guys really did that for me. It sort of opened me up. It let me be positive and playful in a way that I've brought back to the sort of, if you will, the legitimate Shakespeare. I just adored every minute of it. So thank you.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.